This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We were talking during the break because we just want to clear something up.
This is an informative show. We like to make sure that you're knowledgeable and understand, and this applies to, I think, a little confusion from our afternoon host, from Carrington Harrison, who also...
Or just Royals fans. You
know, yeah, or Royals fans.
So the Cleveland Guardians tweeted out, local blackouts are gone. Stream Cleveland Guardians games for $99 a season at cleguardians.tv, or it's $19.99 a month. And it says, stream all your regular season games, free 7-day trial. And I saw some other Royals fans and Carrington quote tweets that every team should do this. That's exactly what the Royals have. It's just not branded as Royals TV.
The Royals. I'm going to be very clear.
The comments are hilarious. People are saying, that's right, at Royals. You should do this. They do this.
Where have you been?
It's the same thing.
I'm going to be as clear as I can. The Royals have been doing this for years.
And it's what people have been complaining about.
Years.
That's hilarious
to
me.
You can right now get FanDuel TV the same as you could have gotten Bally Sports for $20 a month. Or... $100 for the whole season. I'm not even kidding.
Well, even if you think
it's the identical price point, and it's not a local blackout, if I'm paying for Bally's in town, that's how I avoid the blackout. And if you're out of market, you could do it on MLB TV for, and you're going to be blown away by this, like $120 a year, a nearly identical price point. Every team in baseball is pretty much doing this. The Royals are also already doing this. You can do this for their games this year. You can pay FanDuel TV the $100 and get them for the entire year locally.
Doesn't it make it better if it's in-house just because you get to produce your own content rather than rely on...
So they sold the rights. As Cody said, to Major League Baseball instead of the Diamond Sports Group, and so they're having Major League Baseball handle that. The reason why it's funny to me is only because of the comments, and it's like, this is why we're bringing it up to let you know. The comments are hilarious because people are tagging the Royals in the same post and saying, at Royals, you heard the man, this should be standard. It's the same thing the Royals have been doing and everybody's been complaining about it being a bad deal. I'm not saying it's this perfect setup that the Royals have.
But it's like to claim
that the Guardians are doing it so much better. It's the same thing. They are just branding it as Cleveland Guardians TV instead of FanDuel TV. It's no different. The Royals eventually will have a season-long price you can pay or a $19.99 a month fee. The Guardians, if you click on the link and try to go sign up, the monthly is also $19.99. There also are no local blackouts in Kansas City. The blackout thing is if you live in Iowa and it doesn't let you watch or whatever. In Kansas City, FanDuel TV is not blacked out. That's the whole point. Just like Cleveland Guardians TV. It's just funny because they did a good job of packaging it, marketing it, I guess, because it is the same thing the Royals are doing, and people are out there saying this is so much better. It is identical.
It's got to be the marketing. I mean, is there any difference, though, in terms of like what you get with the...
It's the exact same price, too.
Because I
mean, it is an identical price.
Well, no. I'm not talking about the price. I'm saying instead of it just being, hey, no. Royals games, and then there's like a pre and post, is there exclusive content that you're not going to get anywhere else and all those other things?
It's also subject to national exclusivity. So if it's on Apple TV on Friday night, you don't get it. It's the exact... No.
Right.
You're not getting additional content. You're not getting like behind the scenes. You're getting the same broadcast. It's probably the same broadcasters.
In fact, it was
on Diamond Sports last year. It's the exact, like, they've decided the price point for a reason. Look, do I wish we lived in a utopian society in which the Royals were just on Fox 4, KCTV 5, KSHB, every game at night for free via available to terminals? Yes, I do. I do. I genuinely do. That's not the world we live in. They've decided that live sports come at a price. The same reason your Netflix subscription has gone up or your Amazon Prime subscription has gone up. This is the price they've decided on. MLB TV has been like $120 for like, I swear, a decade straight, it feels like. This is what I have paid for Bally's for 3 consecutive years. This is the exact price it is.
Yeah, someone asking what's the add-on cost for Prime. I don't think we know that yet, but it'll be it'll be around $19.99 a month or something like that, unless Amazon is just trying to, you know, flex and get you to, you know, and they're going to have it a dollar cheaper or something than everybody else because it's Amazon. I have no idea. The Guardians also, in the press release, says they will have a 30-minute pregame show, 15-minute postgame show for all home games. The road games, they will not even have a pregame show, but a 15-minute postgame show.
So you're literally paying for the games. There's no
Well, of course,
bonus.
But that's what this is. I mean, I'm not even...
You're actually getting less. You're not even getting a postgame show.
Yeah. We only brought it up because this is not just Carrington. The comments were hilarious because people were saying that this was something the Royals should do, and it's what they do.
Shouldn't more, in terms of like, I get that the price point is the same, but shouldn't more teams from the standpoint of, hey, we can give you exclusive content if you subscribe to our particular thing, whether it's Kansas City Royals.tv or whatever the case is, just to give fans more exclusive content, like, hey, we're going to hang around the cage with Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby.
But you know this, Drew, like, people are complaining about $19.99 a month, and that's fine. It's everybody's own right to pay what they want to pay. But do you think people are going to be like, you know what? Now I get a mic'd up segment, so now I'll pay. No.
And they're just going to do that via their social media channels. The Royals are going to do that via their social media platforms.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's where that's kind of shifted to. So, like, if you want Bobby mic'd up, you want Vinny doing stuff in the clubhouse, you can get that stuff. You just follow the Royals on Instagram or whatever, right? I mean, that content exists. It's all just shifted to social instead of like TV-based product.
Produced, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can get back to this later on if you guys want, but something we were talking about during the break, we saw it pop up and seemed there was some confusion around what Cleveland was doing, and it's exactly what the Royals are doing. Anyway, back to the Chiefs a little bit. The three-peat campaign ended on Sunday. Duh, we all know that, against Philadelphia. You think it is also maybe a natural end to what has happened over the last 5 to 6 years?
Like, I'm not trying to be negative, and I'm not saying that it's just like over, but didn't Sunday feel like just mentally, physically, didn't it just feel like the natural end of the first run? Like, you got 7 years, you win 3 Super Bowl titles, you go to 5, you're heading into this big retooling year where you got to make decisions on a starting linebacker, a starting defensive end, your tight end has to make a decision about his retirement, who feels like at the very core, the essence, one of like the 4 or 5 people you think of as it relates to this dynasty. It just feels like I'm getting ready to go into a year in which, for the first time in a long time, we'll see as the offseason progresses, that like the half step back we kind of talked about with the Bills. Do I ever think the Chiefs have to just like tear this thing down and start anew? No. They got Patrick Mahomes and they got Andy Reid. They'll probably just be back in the AFC title game. But it does in a lot of ways feel like the natural end to like the break point for how all of you Dynasty 1, Dynasty 2. If they keep going to Super Bowls, it's all just one big massive dynasty, which has never really occurred for that length of time. I think that's also what it is. I've never seen a team carry a dynasty for like 12 plus years in the NFL.
But usually that's just because eventually they stop going to Super Bowls, you know? Yeah. And so I
that's
hear
exactly
you.
What it is. If you don't they stop winning them.
If you don't think they're going next year after then not winning the year before, so it's 2 years in a row. I don't know, how dare they not win a championship for 2 years in a row, but they don't win a championship for 2 years
then
in a row.
It's a natural break.
Then it's over. So that basically, yes, it becomes a break, Cody, if they don't get back to the Super Bowl next year.
But if they
year.
Get back again and don't win, then they still haven't won
probably,
in 2 years. Still feels like
not.
The natural end a little bit.
But in terms of personnel and all that, yeah, I think we all recognize there's going to be a lot of new faces on this team next year. based off of free agency and contracts that are due and guys that they make decisions to not bring back, etc. Yeah, the end of the run, and they're also ending a back-to-back and three-peat campaign. So, like, that's probably what it is more than anything. It's not even the longevity of the dynasty. It's just that, hey, when you were in the middle of a run it back back-to-back campaign that then turned into a three-peat campaign, and then that campaign is over, then that's it. And then you kind of start a new era, if you will, for the Chiefs. So I get that. I think for it to officially be like the end of this current dynasty, it'll be them not getting back to a Super Bowl and winning next year. Then it's a clear break point. Like the Patriots had a 10-year gap.
Yeah. And look, they went to two Super Bowls and they just lost them. So like you can go to Super Bowls. It's about winning them. Like I'll be honest. If they lose the Super Bowl, just as long as they don't win it, end a dynasty. Start fresh. That one's done. You start again. Because if you lose back-to-back Super Bowls, even though you would have then been to 6 out of 7 Super Bowls, dynasties are only about winning them. Like, they exist in a time in which you can lose them, but you have to actively be winning them to actively be in the dynasty. That's how I kind of view the Patriots one too, right? Where they win a decade without winning one, but they did go to 2 gold during that time. They lost them both to the Giants of all teams during that stretch. But like, yeah, I kind of feel like, and I don't know, I'm trying not to like overreact, and I don't think it's overreacting because I'm not telling you that they've got to start fresh and this whole thing's over. I'm just saying it just feels like kind of the natural break point between two eras. And Kelce might end up being the determining factor for me for that, because I view this era as the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce one, right? Those are the four. Is there somebody I'm missing other than Brett Veach, the general manager? So, like, I feel like somebody has to almost leave, though, for me to feel like that part of this era is done. The one thing that might be missing from me saying it now, Gold, is Travis Kelce, I think, might have to retire for it to actually feel that way. Unless there's some other player you guys think I should be including in this mix. It feels like the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. Those are, like, you know, like of this dynasty's Mount Rushmore, whatever the version of those are the four people on there. I know Veach is a part of it. I'm just going to set him aside because he's not on the field for sidelines, whatever.
Yeah. As long as the main pieces are there and you're going to Super Bowls, then the dynasty stuff continues. That's kind of how I view it. If the year they don't go to the Super Bowl, then the dynasty at that point is over, and you either don't start a new one like most teams, or they're the Patriots and they end up starting a new dynasty 2 or 3 years from now. I mean, we're not going to have that answer until next year. They go into the playoffs next year. Are they in the AFC title game again? Or are they not? Are they in the Super Bowl again? Or are they not? That'll decide whether or not the dynasty actually continues. As far as them falling off of the face of the earth, no, Patrick Mahomes is not 39. Mahomes is not 40 years old, and Andy Reid's not retiring. So anybody in the AFC thinking that, like, oh, we got him now, it's completely over and now it's our turn, not so fast. I'm not saying that the Chiefs are guaranteed to go to the Super Bowl next year by any means, but the idea that like they're suddenly going to be a 9-win team is laughable.
Yeah, we can get into more of that and some of the other thoughts nationally that, like, yeah, they now since he can't wait, which is nuts. But you would point out, I was, as far as this show's stance has been, I don't know if we're the strongest anti-running back group in the city, but we're definitely like,
no, Rob does, that's Rob Brin.
Yeah, but we're definitely like, running backs got to be kind of low on your priority list of things. And yet, you told me this morning, we're sitting around talking about the Chiefs team, you want a
yes.
running back? You're pro running back?
If we all agree that they need some more explosiveness on offense,
that's
right?
A cheap
way
to get
it. We all agree.
Yeah, I agree to that.
Then running back is a nice area to look at that. And I'm not saying go sign like the highest paid free agent running back. I don't need them to go sign Aaron Jones, who's a free agent running back, I think, or something like that. No. Yeah. That's or whoever. There's a long
list.
Who is
the best free agent running back? We can't get a Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley year?
They're way better off drafting. Because the draft class is very good this year.
I have no interest in going the free agent route. Now, if you want to like sign a third running back out of free agency, sure, of course. They've done that with Samaje Perine, McKinnon,
whoever.
You know, J.K. Dobbins is a free agent again. You know, if you want to bring him in I wanted him last year. You want to bring him in?
The best free agent running backs are Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Najee Harris.
Yeah, so I'm good. I don't need to pay.
2 years ago, Aaron Jones would be great, but he's been hurt.
J.K. Dobbins.
If
you want him.
But not as the main guy. You know, like that has to be your third down back or something like that. So I think the draft, I would like them. I think they need a young running back that provides explosiveness. Isaiah Pacheco will be on this team next year. I'm not saying for him not to have a role. That would be silly. I think he'll recover from the injury more and more as the offseason goes. He can be a nice spell back for you and get, I don't know, 30-40% of the workload kind of thing, or however they want to divvy it up. We don't know who the other guy is yet, so it's hard to give a percentage.
Yeah.
But they need to spend a fairly high pick. I'm not saying to go first round running back. No, I'm good. Thank you very much. But to Drew's point, there's some depth in this running back class where you can. They need to go and find, you know, and they have their list, I'm sure, already of the three or four explosive backs in this draft that they love. And are they available in the end of the second round, in the third round? I'm all about that. Do I have names to give you? Admittedly, no, because I have not been doing draft research on February 11th. Drew's had a head start on this, and Cincinnati's been out. So give me a name.
But they like
two.
Their running back, though, don't they?
Yeah, the Bengals are not. I don't think they won't get a running back at least early on. But Travion Henderson from Ohio State, a guy that you can probably get later second round, early third. Also, Devin Neal had a very, very good Senior Bowl. Explosive back, he'd be a guy to watch
local.
Potentially.
Yeah, the Kansas guy. You want your guy Devin Neal? How did he look at Kansas? You watch him Kansas football this year.
Devin Neal, he averaged about 5 yards a carry.
Devin Neal
out of the backfield,
a very attractive candidate.
I saw like eight people type in Scatabo, but I think that's just like a name because everybody remembers it because it's fun to say.
Scatabo's really good, but I wonder if he. To me, he's a lot more Isaiah Pacheco than he is. I guess. Devin Neal or like a
I'm talking
a
explosive Trevion back, a guy that has the ability.
That's my thing. I want speed in the third round or later.
Yeah,
I'll just be honest.
I want the guy. He gets to the second level, he can house it. All right, and so does everybody. But that's the kind of back thing. Isaiah Pacheco,
the two.
Even if he's a healthy back, that's just not in his arsenal. That's fine. He's helped them win Super Bowls. I'm not trying to take shots at Pacheco, but like they need somebody that you get him in space. He can turn what would be a 5 yard, you know, someone's going to catch you after 12 yards and he can take that 12 yard gain for Pacheco and he can go 40 because he's got the speed. And that'll be
Devin
the type of back
Henderson
I'd be interested in. Yeah.
Like I just, yeah. I
someone
mean,
says DJ Giddens from K-State.
Yeah,
he's more of a bruiser, but
he's
definitely
like
not. He's not explosive as some of the other guys were mentioning.
I just want third rounder later and I just want them to be able to fly like the whole thing that stood out, and there's multiple things, but one of the things that has stood out the last 2 years for Chiefs on offense is they're slow. I'm tired of watching Juju and DeAndre Hopkins and Pacheco and Hunt run routes or try to hit a crease and go for 4 yards. It works. You can survive that way. They've won a lot of games. They obviously won the two Super Bowls before the one they lost on Sunday. You can live your life. You can do a lot worse than that. That's not the argument I'm making. But it is time to get up to the speed of the NFL. They're getting closer to that on wide receiver because Xavier Worthy is fast, real fast. And, like, it's not what they drafted in the last one in Rashee Rice. That is what they targeted in Hollywood Brown last year. So, like, it's coming around a little bit. They're still slow. It is still generally a slow offense. They have one fast wide receiver in Xavier Worthy and zero fast running backs.
I'm going to say Kelowna, 2003 Priest Holmes, problem solved. Priest Holmes is a bigger dude.
Priest Holmes is also running behind maybe the greatest offensive line in Chiefs history.
Jamal. If we're just like getting old backs, I want Jamal.
Jamal's the guy that you two, I think, are talking about.
Yeah, like I love Priest Holmes, great back in Chiefs history. He also, I think, would admit he was behind the best offensive line we've ever seen in Chiefs history. I mean, seriously, I mean, go back and look at the names again on that offensive line.
It was pretty good.
Insane. Absolutely insane. So, and some guys that won't end up in the Hall of Fame that should, like, you know, it's kind of crazy.
And some that did.
And some that obviously did. Yeah. So that offensive line was just insane. I would love for them to build that offensive line. Sure. A couple Hall of Famers, all pro or two or three or four.
I don't even care who the weapons are. They can have whoever running back. They got that offensive line.
Trash of the day.
Are we going to Clearwater, Florida? Drew, did you ever go there? You lived in Florida for a little bit.
Not Clearwater. I've driven through Clearwater.
Okay. How far is that from like Pensacola or something?
Oh, shoot. I don't know exactly.
Hours and hours away?
I think so, yes.
Is that way south?
Okay. It's like Orlando, Miami, Tampa. Right.
Yeah, it's like south.
Okay. Florida. So Clearwater, we go to a 7-Eleven near a Clearwater strip club.
I'll tell you what. That's where all great trash of the day start. A 7-Eleven near a Clearwater strip club?
Tampa, okay.
Tampa area.
This can't be bad.
Okay. So there's a connection between the strip club and the 7-Eleven, obviously. That's why it's pointed out in the story. So a Florida stripper ended up behind bars last week after she went to a 7-Eleven. Police say that a 22-year-old stripper got into a verbal altercation with a 30-year-old female employee at the convenience store.
Okay.
There was an exchange of, quote, derogatory comments towards each other.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were all just completely sober and no issues at all. And I'm sure it was just at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not at 3 a.m. or anything. A verbal altercation at the local 7-Eleven. 10-2, the one escalated to the point that this lady became irate. And she grabbed a banana off the counter. You know, if you go to 7-Eleven, they have the bananas right there.
Yeah, just like
you know?
The loose fruit.
She grabbed a banana off the counter and fired it at the employee, hitting her in the face. The banana, must have something on it because, according to the arrest report, the employee was struck on the cheekbone and left a minor abrasion. So who knows what was on this banana?
Like a razor blade?
I don't know. This
it's a sharp banana. You know what? Maybe it got that, like, hard, crusty brown bit off it, came off the, you know, came off the bunch. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes that happens right at the top.
That's true. The banana in question was reportedly not seized as evidence. However, the lady wasn't as lucky. She was arrested for battery, booked in the county jail on a misdemeanor count.
I mean, honest to God, who throws a banana at another person?
I do not know.
Mm-hmm. Like, at least, like, and that's not an easy
one. I mean, what was said?
Said derogatory, so I don't know. I don't know what was said.
Also, like, as a stripper, I got to assume you got to deal with, like, unruly customers from time to time. Why are you going to go out and be that person at the convenience store? Like, you probably don't
maybe
like it at your...
Night. I don't know.
You don't like it at your place of business. Don't bring that energy out. Just because you had a bad day at work doesn't mean spread it out to the other people.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just, you know, like, be nice to service people. That's all I'm saying. This lady's working a 7-Eleven a block from a strip club in Clearwater. You think she loves her job? Think she's just thrilled to go to her work every day? Yeah. Probably not. Yeah. Now you're bringing this bad energy in there, you know? I'm sorry you had a bad day. Someone says we're not allowed to complain about it if it was daytime or nighttime because we drink every Friday on the fan club. Damn straight.
Fair. That is the trash of the day. I want to go back real quick to something we talked about to start the hour because I've seen a couple texts on this real quick before we go to break.
Okay.
Someone said, yeah, but the Guardians are offering the TV package for $99.99. The Royals and FanDuel only have $189.99. The Royals FanDuel one is not just Royals. It's, remember, FanDuel TV is not Royals. That is FanDuel TV. They are offering Royals, Blues, Thunder, as in sports year round, for $189.99 a month. The Guardians are offering $99 because baseball is 6 months and the other is another six. And so it's pretty simple why one is $189 and one is $99.
And when baseball gets close, it will be available. I bought Bally's. The last 2 years.
Or you just do $19.99 a month. Like, either way, the same thing. Not even just a cost thing, which it is going to end up being the same cost. It is also, as we said to start the hour, if you're saying, man, I would sure love a streaming option for baseball season with no local blackouts and everybody's acting like the Guardians have invented something brand new. It, again, is the exact same thing the Royals and about 20 other clubs have had for 3 or 4 years. It's not any different. And if you're wondering why one is $189 and one is $99, one is baseball only, one is 12 months.
And you can do the 6 months options at $20 and pay the pretty much identical amount. And they'll offer a baseball option only for Prime or anything else. And then I saw the complaints turn to like, well, but I don't like the quality of the stream. No offense. You got any idea what the quality of in-house Cleveland Guardian stream is? I'll just take a ballpark. Seeing how they run the Diamond Sports Group, it's probably going to be run by the same TV production company, using the same broadcasters, just branded as Cleveland TV. It's probably about the same. Okay? I solved it. It's probably about the same. They're not getting like far better quality for the $100. It's the same thing. Every once in a while, we do something on the show, and I'm like, are we going crazy? Or do we live in some vacuum of time that I can't understand? If your argument is, I wish it was free, yes, same. But if your argument is, Cleveland's offering them a better deal, they aren't.
Going back to the
streaming
track.
Is just identical, though. Like, it's...
from the 816, Cody doesn't even support strippers in the first place, so of course he sides with the attendant.
I'm just saying you don't have to bring bad energy into everyone's workplace.
You could settle a bet and get a big
if I went
at
to
the same
strip club,
time.
I wouldn't be bad energy into her workplace, you know? Yeah. And to be clear, I've been to one once, so... I don't have zero knowledge. I have exactly one trip's worth of knowledge.
Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Talk a bit more about the rest of the AFC. What are they thinking after watching the Chiefs lose in Super Bowl 59? We'll see if you agree with one national host.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's take on it next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. You guys can keep interacting with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7979. 6'5", Nate Taylor from The Athletic. He was in New Orleans, of course, for the Super Bowl. He just got back in town. He's going to join us in studio. 1 o'clock. We'll, of course, talk a little bit about the game, but also I'm more interested, honestly, in talking to him, like, what's his vibe on what path the Chiefs could choose for this offseason? A lot of decisions to make. Trey Smith, you know, one of the biggest in terms of internal options to decide if they're going to give him a contract or not. I tend to believe, I think you do as well, that that won't happen, but you never know. And then, of course,
I'm a
just,
little more on the fence, but yeah, I lean no.
Other areas as well. So we shall see how that plays out, honestly. Some of the texts I want to know, when do they get their bonus money for Peyton and Eli's field goal at the Super Bowl? You should already got it. The kick of destiny thing? Yeah. Should already got it. If you picked Eli, $10 bonus bet. I got it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So if you picked Eli, you'll get your $10 bonus bet. The Peyton and Eli kick of destiny 3. And Eli was always going to win that one. Peyton was younger brother. Eli does better at Super Bowls anyway.
I do love a little fun, like, here's some free bets. Like, I got a free bet over at Underdog because it was longest touchdown score if you had them included in any lineup. And I had Xavier Worthy included in a lineup. So you're like, you know, I like the little, like, freebie bonus. I was going to be doing something anyway, as you pointed out.
So I was looking around yesterday, trying to avoid, honestly, national TV coverage of post-Super Bowl stuff, but on social media, it's hard to avoid. And our betting network through Odyssey, BetMGM Network, one of their afternoon shows, You Better You Bet, with Nick Costos, they were talking not about betting. They were talking just about the AFC a little bit and how teams should feel about the Chiefs moving forward. I want to play this and see if you guys agree. And is this how we think they're feeling in some of these cities?
Are we just going to be like spend this whole next 6 months talking about, well, it's Buffalo's time now. Now it's Baltimore. Now it's Lamar. There is one team above all else in the AFC that needs to be licking its chops right now. Like a shark that needs to smell blood in the water. And that's the Cincinnati Bengals. They have the quarterback that stood toe-to-toe with the great Patrick Mahomes and beaten him in the biggest spot. They need to find a way to keep T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Trey Hendrickson. They got Al Golden as a defensive coordinator to replace Lou Anarumo. And they can make a real run at it. So Kansas City is going to be the favorite in the AFC again. Andy Reid's expected back. Mahomes is obviously going to be back. The Chiefs should be the favorite. But I'll tell you what, man, as far as the rest of the AFC, there's blood in the water right now. And they all need to strike. All of them. Any team that harbors hopes of beating the Chiefs and representing the AFC in Super Bowl history, push those chips in. Now's the time.
Okay, so that was Nick Costos on You Better You Bet. I guess.
Dun, dun, dun.
Why is it now blood in the water, though? Because they lost in a Super Bowl? I honestly, like, would it be
you blood? Just lost to them on the way while they
like
went
legit
to the
question. Like, the Chiefs do have questions to figure out this offseason, just like all those teams he mentioned too, by the way. If the Chiefs would have won the Super Bowl, the questions about Trey Smith would still be there, about their wide receivers, about the offensive line. Like, Joe Tooney was never going to be the long-term option at left tackle. They have issues to figure out. But I think it's funny that because they got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl, we're now acting like they're more vulnerable than ever. We've known the formula for a while. If you can out-physical the Chiefs,
especially on the defensive line,
then there's an area where you can beat them up. It's what the Bucs did while the Chiefs were banged up also. And it's what the Eagles did. You don't think Buffalo for years has tried to figure out the formula to beat the Chiefs? So I think it's a little funny. Do I think that there are teams that may have more confidence in doing it? Sure, but they actually have to go out and do it. He uses Cincinnati as the prime example. I don't know what the infatuation is. I think I know what it is. It's just Joe Burrow. But what the infatuation is with why Cincinnati, 3 years ago, they beat Mahomes in an AFC title game. So like they're the team. The problem I have is what about their defense tells you they can be the more superior physical team?
The two teams who have beaten Kansas City in the Super Bowl, like you said, beat them the exact same way. It's not quite as bad, but it's almost the same. Saying the key to beating the Chiefs is just to build a defensive line like the Eagles is almost the same as being like, hey, you guys know to win games, you should just draft a good quarterback, right? It is so much easier just said out loud than done. What do you think? The Bills and the Bengals and the Ravens haven't been trying to build?
It's been going on for 5 years.
Elite defensive lines?
Yeah.
They've been trying this whole time. And they can't do it because they're not as their GMs aren't as good as Howie Roseman. Or they had to pay their quarterbacks earlier than Jalen Hurts had to be paid. Or they didn't pick at the top of the draft because their teams weren't bad enough. Because that's something that helped the Eagles, right? Is that in those in-between years, they got to take Jalen Carter at 9 or what else was available to them. it is legitimately funny to me to just be like, just get an elite level defensive line, problem solved. Yeah, everybody knows that that's the key to building a great defense. There's a reason why it is so incredibly difficult to do. It's why I give the Eagles such good credit for being able to build a defensive line of that depth and magnitude that it completely dismantles the Chiefs' offensive line. It also just pretends to say that that's the way to beat them now. Like, the Chiefs are not going to try to solve that problem this offseason and build themselves in a way where your defensive line can't get to them the same
way. Who knows? Maybe we'll find, maybe the Chiefs will be more vulnerable next year than ever. I don't know. Let's see what the offseason brings.
A lot of moves.
That could definitely be true. But the all-in stuff, like, now they need to go all-in? I mean, Drew, you tell me if I'm wrong. Even though the season didn't turn out that way, I bet you Cincinnati thought they were all in this past year. They thought they were all in this past year. Why wouldn't they? Buffalo, took a step back. Baltimore, you don't think Baltimore felt like they were all in this year? They went and signed Derrick Henry. They were all in this year. So this notion of, like, now you got to go all in.
Because they lost the game
sense.
Past all the games they already beat you in.
Well, I think that I think anywhere Nick is coming from in this regard is the Bengals in terms of spending money, because it will help get them to the point where they can. They also have to draft well, but to your guys' point, this year, if based on what we just saw happen in the game between Philly and the Chiefs, the Bills and the Ravens had a fantastic opportunity in front of them where why couldn't the Bills take advantage of this? You know, this might have been the most vulnerable, if you will, because of what we saw in the Super Bowl, where we look at Josh Allen and the teams that he's had throughout, and it's like, man, you've had
top five
opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The same goes with Lamar Jackson from last year, where you got the top-ranked defense, you have a great offensive line, and play calling messed it up. You couldn't make enough plays. That, for the Bills and the Ravens, they've had the opportunities. And we said last year even, like, it was more of the Bills this year, the Ravens last year. Because last year we talked about the receiving core for the Chiefs, obviously it was down and everything like that. It was the Ravens. That was the Ravens' chance to do it, and they didn't do it. The Bills this year, based on what we saw from Philly, this was maybe the Bills' best chance to actually do it based on what we saw they got dominated in that game. Why couldn't the Bills take advantage of it the same way that Philly could?
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo, I'd be like, yeah, what the heck? How did they dismantle this offensive line that didn't have an issue against us 2 weeks earlier? That's true. If his point is just that, hey, don't believe that it's the Bills or Ravens knocking them off, it has to be somebody else, okay, that's probably fair, because I think we've all acknowledged, like, why should I fear the Buffalo Bills? But I just the notion, though, that, like,
I'd almost take someone off the board, you know, before those.
Like Cincinnati, before, of course, Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. Jamar Chase is a stud at wide receiver. Yeah. Maybe they'll retain T. Higgins. Maybe they'll retain Trey Hendrickson. My only thing is, if they do all of that, none of that sounds like the defense, which was their biggest problem, gets better. Yeah, they have a new defensive coordinator. Maybe they won't be the worst defense in football again next year, and then that'll certainly help. But, like, I don't think that if they're going to commit the resources to offense again, I think that's slightly a mistake. I know you disagree with me on this because we've talked off air, Drew, but I think if your defense is not going to have the improvement via free agency either, then you're sure banking on just nailing draft picks like the Eagles did. That's a big what
if. If not, we're going to be
sitting here next December, and the Bengals probably will make the playoffs because it'll be the third year, if not. And we'll be saying, man, but is their defense good enough to win it?
Yeah,
I know Burrow and Jamar Chase should be good enough to get it done offensively without even having to retain T. Higgins.
By the time they face him, it'll be even longer than this. But it's been 800 days since Cincinnati beat Kansas City. Like, they don't get a vault up to the top of the list. They haven't beat them in 800 days. It'll be 1,000 before the next time they face each other.
I know, but I think that the reason why people keep on bringing up Cincinnati isn't necessarily as much because they did it. I think that's part of it. But also, the Bills and Ravens have had time after time after time after time, and they have not done it. So who else is going to be able to do it? Well, maybe the one guy who actually did it in a game is going to matter, because the Chargers can't even get to a playoff game that matters anyways. The Chargers can't even give themselves a chance to do it. Houston hasn't been able to do it. So I think that's why they go to Cincinnati, where, to your point, though, the Bengals in particular, they dedicate some of the fewest resources to the draft. They haven't been able to draft well, in particularly the trenches, where it matters most, and you see how well the Eagles played. The Bengals have drafted defensive end 2-3 years in a row in the first two rounds. None of them have really hit for them at all whatsoever. So that's where their problem is. If you rely on the draft, they haven't shown you that they can compete with Howie Roseman and with Brett Veach and actually building a team through the draft. That's where their problem is the most right now.
The blood in the water thing, I mean, that's how I feel like fans feel in these other markets. But I don't know, until we see what the offseason looks like and what the Chiefs do or do not
blood in the water.
Andy Reid wins basically 11 games a year just in his sleep. And he makes it look easy, okay? So
what's a bad year.
And that's so 11, like blood in the water. All right, so let's say they're an 11-win team and they're the 3 or 4 seed. Oh, you mean like they were a year ago and won the Super Bowl? I just don't get what's blood in the water even
if
mean?
If they lost in
just that year. Excuse me. Just that year.
Are you okay?
Just that you're not afraid.
This is 2 days in a row something came up on the show.
You're not bleeding today.
No, I'm okay.
I'm not bleeding. I don't know what that was.
If they lost
got
in
a little
the division
too excited.
If they lost in the division, if they didn't make an AFC title game, maybe you can say that. There's blood in the water. But them losing a Super Bowl, that's
what I don't
there's
get.
There's no way that's what it took for you to actually say that.
If you want to say, like, the teams don't fear them anymore, I mean, Philly doesn't because they've beat them in the Super Bowl. Why Buffalo's lost? Josh Allen's 0-4 against Mahomes in the playoffs. I don't buy that suddenly because 2 weeks later he watched another team beat up the Chiefs that he's now not fearful anymore or that the Ravens aren't anymore. I just don't
Josh
buy
Allen
that.
Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have openly said, like, Lamar Jackson openly said he's our kryptonite. I think Lamar Jackson fears them a little bit just off of that.
If there's any argument for it, it's because the list of either extension candidates or notable free agents is kind of long for Kansas City. So here's the list. And we don't have to go through one by one. Over the course of these next few days, we're obviously, and weeks, we're going to look at these players individually. Here are the free agents for the Chiefs. Trey Smith, Nick Bolton, Justin Reed, Charles Omenihu, Turk Wharton, Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Watson. And then we know that McDuffie, Tooney, and Karloftis, based on the history of the NFL and everything it did, are all possible extension guys probably going into it. And that doesn't even include the players that you just want to, like, walk on because you're done paying. Like, it's the Tuesday after the Super Bowl. I don't want to get into, like, maybe you should find a new punter. But, you know, maybe you should find a new punter, too.
Is that really your...
No. What? I'm just like, I don't want to get that far down into the list. But they do have a lot of attrition coming. The free agency list, the thing I hate about it is, it means you have to change a lot about your defensive line, and you need a lot of talent infusion there. You have to change a lot about your wide receiver unit if you're using three guys who all had between 300 and 600, 700 yards for you, probably depending on the playoffs and all that, or were vital members later in the season like Hollywood Brown. And then, yeah, you're screwing up, hypothetically, your entire offensive line, depending on what you want to do with Trey Smith and Tooney. We know that Juwan Taylor's here, and left tackle is a complete unknown because even on that free agent list doesn't include a guy who you just brought in DJ Humphreys to do the job. And we know that the left tackle for majority of the season was Joe Tooney, who may be up for an extension too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a long list of decisions that they have to make going forward. And
I'd make the decision on Omenihu first.
Why first?
Because he's the most important player on that list.
Well, I think the first decision they're going to make, and they already probably have it, is what they're doing with Trey Smith. Because and ultimately getting the answer on what Travis Kelce's future is. I would say those are, because those potentially, that you're talking about dollars and allocating dollars.
Yeah.
And whether or not you can then make a decision on Omenihu, I think they need to know at some point, is Kelce a $19 million cap hit or a $0 cap hit? Or are we restructuring his deal and adding a year? Is he back? Are we giving an extension to Joe Tooney? If we are, then we can actually free up money in 2025. And have a smaller cap hit this year, so that frees up money. I think the retaining Charles Omenihu and getting deals done with other guys, a lot of it is what they know about Kelce's future, for example, as well. And you know, there's guys that were here in 1 year deals that I don't think really, with the exception of maybe Hollywood Brown, are back, like Kareem Hunt, D-Hop, Juju. I don't think any of those guys are back. I will respond to one text. Someone says DeAndre Hopkins has retired. No, he didn't. That was a fake Twitter account. On his personal Twitter account, he came out already and said, I don't know where, you know, I'm paraphrasing basically, I don't know where you heard that stuff from, but I'm not going anywhere. Quote, don't know what you heard, but I'm not done yet. That's from DeAndre Hopkins' official Twitter account. So, yes, he did not retire. I don't know if he'll be in Kansas City, but he did not retire.
I doubt he'd be in Kansas City. That doesn't seem like the kind of player you continue to move forward with. But look, I've been wrong before on players that they've decided to go with. But yeah, they have to make a lot of very crucial decisions. And I guess what they have to focus on first is kind of what we talked about earlier in the show and get back to, which is, where would you like to start those problems, right? Where would you like to start those solutions? Where would you like to continue those conversations? Because I would say that this is probably going to be the biggest change in offseason they've had to make probably since the year, I think, actually after the Tampa one. Because I still don't even think, and this is where I think it's a good thing for Brett Veach, there's no way this matches the year that they traded Tyreek Hill, right? That was a complete change. They altered the entire state of their entire defense in an offseason while simultaneously choosing to trade away their number one weapon on offense.
You can look at this list. Trade away. They don't have anybody to trade away.
I'm not saying they should trade. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, there's no way this offseason's harder than that one. Are you nuts? Like, look at what they had to do in that offseason. They revamped an entire defense, changed defensive philosophies and a new coach, and traded away their number one weapon on offense. Like, there's no way it's harder than that. Like, I'm not saying they don't have things or challenges to move around.
It's the second most difficult offseason they've had during this run. And it's because it's at the 7-year mark, really, of it. And you have some guys that not only are, it's not even just that some guys are aging out, like Kelce and whether or not he's going to retire or not. It's that you drafted so darn well that it's time for guys to get paid. Trey Smith, Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis. Like, that's just the reality. You draft well, those guys are going to get deals, and you can't pay everybody. So that this is why we talk about, you know, like the draft funnel, if you will, of trying to make sure you continue. Why the Patriots' runs lasted so long, they continued to draft well.
So the Eagles have continued to stay a good team. If so you just want to look at the team who won the championship a couple days
ago.
And
I'm confident that Brett Veach can do that. The big question for him is, can he find a left tackle of the future? Not just for a 1 or 2 year stopgap. I'm talking not 10 years. That's not realistic. For 3 to 5 years, can they find their answer at left tackle? That is priority number one this offseason.
I'd like for a decade, but yes, I'll take 3 or 4 years.
I think we know the priorities, but what do you think is more important in sorting out first? Is it figuring out if you can trade up to get that left tackle, or just trying to
left tackles first?
Yeah, but trading up in the draft, you can't figure out on February 15th.
Well, I know, not like now, but I'm saying in terms of what you decide to do going forward, is it the offensive line and what you do with Tooney and Trey Smith? And that opens, and also hearing from Travis Kelce, and that opens up, okay, this is our plan for the draft. Because if Kelsey's back, you might draft a tight end, but you don't even need to worry about a tight end like that for next year. You can utilize that for a guard or for a running back or whatever the case is.
Free agency starts in 30 days. What you do today is back channel, legal tamper, whatever the hell you want to call every agent of probably Ronnie Stanley's. I don't know if there's like another choice, or the guys who were, as Gold has pointed out, unhappy with their current situation at left tackle with the team and believe they deserve a raise or one out. And you back channel every damn agent, every GM, and you find out what the actual hard cost is on every available top 15 left tackle in the NFL, because the draft is a much, much harder way to go about it. And this is a throw money at the problem kind of thing. And I know you're gonna be like, well, they just did that at right tackle, and I'm not happy with the results. But what I'll tell you is, it's not a disaster at right tackle and you're survivable. This year was a disaster at left tackle. It was a huge problem for a massive majority.
They had four guys playing left tackle at some point this year. I mean, that's the fact that they won 15 games, went to Super Bowl is honestly ridiculous.
That is suboptimal.
If we really step back and recognize how they masked that issue, it was an issue.
Was it only four?
It's not a surprise. I think it was only four. It was Kingsley, it was Wanye, it was Humphreys, and it was Tooney.
I don't know if somebody snuck in another snap in there.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. Can I give, like, so I know that sports media in general has turned into just like, let's give the biggest, most outrageous take possible, and you can all react. I can tell you that Kellen Moore will be the best head coach. That's not it. Can I give you a reasoned stance for what I think would actually help the offense? Not like something that's crazy. I'm not here to tell you I think they should fire Matt Nagy or Andy Reid should give up play calling or anything like that. What I honestly think would help the Chiefs in this situation, what they haven't done for years, they need an outside voice from a different offensive system to join the offensive coaching staff to give them some fresh ideas. I would like that person to come from someone's staff that is off the Sean McVay coaching tree, or Kevin O'Connell, or somebody else. If they have operated in a running or passing system inside of one of those systems, they should be on your staff tomorrow to bring you some fresh ideas for how to maybe look at the offense in a slightly different way. I think they're a little bit too, like, insular at this point. Too much Peterson and Nagy and Bieniemy and Andy and everybody who came up underneath it, and a little bit too much similar thinking all working in the same way. I'm not saying get rid of the entire staff. I'm saying you need one fresh voice who's looked at this thing different. It's a reasoned take, not like fire Nagy's ass and bring somebody else in, but that's where I think they need to go this offseason.
I don't think it's crazy. I would ask a couple things with that. One, we all know this. Andy Reid is his system. He's a play caller. That's never changing, nor should it. The idea of bringing outside eyes and feedback, I think that's always good in everything in life, frankly.
Not just football.
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with that. I would say to the direct example you gave of like, hey, find someone that's basically been under Sean McVay. I would say, who is it that's not already an OC that also thinks they're going to be a head coach soon?
Every quarterback coach who goes through Sean McVay ends up as a head coach.
So that's my only thing. Is like, honestly, I don't know. A lot of like the Rams O-line coach or is it passing game coordinator? He's now the new OC in Houston not Houston.
Those guys move on fast in Sean McVay's system.
Is it Jacksonville or Tampa? My point being is like these guys are getting. These guys are getting OC and head coaching gigs. A guy that's the QB coach under Sean McVay is not coming to Kansas City just to be a consultant because they know the path to becoming an OC and head coach under McVay has been basically QB coach, OC, head coach. You're not the guys that come in as consultants are usually old dudes.
Yeah.
They're usually, bringing in, John Gruden, bringing in many years ago, Brad Childress. Like those are consultants. Consultants usually not a 25-year-old up and coming guy.
Here's part of the problem. And this is why it turns into not hot take, but where I think you might have to offer someone like co-offensive coordinator. And I know that like seems like a shot at Nagy, but he used to share that job with Eric Bieniemy. Why can't he share it?
I don't think that'll happen.
Why can't he share it now? Again, I'm not and I know there's plenty of people who would be like, just fire Nagy's ass. I would not be unpopular for bringing that take to the air. If I just said, get rid of Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I don't think he's the problem.
There'd be a lot of people, but like he was a good enough offensive coordinator for them to win 2 years in a row and to make it to 3 Super Bowls. How bad of an offensive coordinator can it be? He's derailing this whole thing to the tune of only 2 Super Bowl championships and 3 appearances in the last 3 years. He can't be screwing things up that bad.
Yeah, people had no problem with Matt Nagy when the Chiefs put up a season high points against Buffalo in the AFC title game, and Mahomes in multiple metrics had the best first half of his career. So like, and then he has this worst one, and so now everybody blames. This is the name. I get it. We want to blame somebody, but I think it's silly to suggest that the OC who doesn't call the plays, by the way, is the problem.
They need someone to unlock the deep passing game. So like maybe it's Mike McDaniel's system, right? Who's off of McVay, and I'm taking it 2 degrees instead. But they need someone to unlock the deep passing game. That's who they don't have in house.
From a consultant?
That is not who Nagy is. That's not who Nagy's been. Andy was that at one point, but isn't. Yes.
Because I wonder if would they, I don't know if Andy would do this, but dip his toes into the college game, because is a guy going to leave Sean McVay's system to become a consultant? It's not going to happen to Gold's point. I think we're in college, not that they become a consultant, but if you have somebody to become the QB coach, who's like a guy in college who's like considered
air raid
and up and coming. Yeah, somebody like that. Maybe they're more attracted by a job with Andy Reid as the QB coach or whatever the case is, co-offensive coordinator, offensive consultant, whatever that is.
I do think it's probably going to have to come at least at a certain level. Let's just face reality. You're not recruiting somebody like you said. Like if you work if you're the water boy on Sean McVay's staff, you're probably 3 years from an NFL head coaching job.
Yeah.
So it's a hard one to do, but like they got to break up the boys club. Dude, we've all sat in rooms with like the same people with the same ideas being passed around and nobody's thinking outside the box. They need like a fresh voice.
I know everybody's looking for answers. I when you have a devastating loss like that, everybody looks for answers, and it's fine to have ideas and everything. I disagree quite a bit on the notion that now, and I know the offense wasn't great all year, and you're not just saying it's about the Super Bowl, but because of what just occurred, that now we're acting like suddenly they don't have the right offensive minds in the building. I just disagree. I think what Super Bowl showed us is that the issues they had all year still all come down to the offensive line problems, and it limited what they could do.
They could be in the deep passing game at the throat. We don't know unless they get a good offensive line.
Rashee Rice and Worthy and another weapon in the offense, whether it's running back or wide receiver, both. I think that with this staff can make it happen if the offensive line does improve. If next year the offensive line, they still don't have a left tackle, we're going to be talking about a lot of the same things. I don't think this is an issue of like Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and they're all too alike in their philosophies. I don't think that's been the issue. It doesn't hurt to have another set of eyeballs out there. That's fine. But like this notion of like they need to have somebody else. Here's why I also don't think that works is because it's Andy Reid's system. He's the play caller. You can bring in somebody else. It's not like suddenly he's shifting everything that he does.
And I'm not saying he should shift everything he does for the same reason we just talked about. There's plenty of success to go with it. But to your point, it's like it's something we can't inherently prove unless they get a good offensive line again. Other than we can say, well, like 6 years ago, they were a attack downfield, do whatever it takes offense. But that's so far removed now.
Yeah, had Tyreek Hill had a much better offensive line situation.
Yeah. And maybe like I'm not disagreeing.
And a younger Travis Kelce that was 30 years old, not 35 or whatever he's about to be.
But they also, maybe Kafka was the voice of reason in the deep passing game.
They loved Kafka,
right?
They loved him. Like, they didn't want
maybe there was somebody still in that room who was offering under that. And look, I, I'd be ready for a fresh voice. That's all. Not firing just somebody else speaking in the room.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Then we'll get back into the conversation that has to be put on ice for now involving Mahomes and Brady.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.